The passage we'll meditate upon today is from John chapter 3, which is on page 940 in your pew Bibles, 940. John chapter 3, the most familiar and famous verse in all of Scripture is John 3:16, which Jesus spoke. These are His words in a conversation with a man named Nicodemus, who was one of the leaders of the Jewish people, of the Pharisees. And He was explaining to him what eternal life is and how to get eternal life. And we certainly always need to know that answer. And when we think of life and death and what happens after our death, these are very relevant questions for us to focus upon. So I'm going to read John 3:16 and the few verses after it. That might not be as familiar, but they're also words from Jesus' own mouth instructing us on these things. So let's give attention to the word of our Lord Jesus. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He who believes in Him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. Amen. May God bless the reading of His Word today. Let's pray. Father, we ask that You would give us strength to understand Your Word today. I pray that You would use my words, that they would not just be the words of some man, but that they would be accurate and faithful unto the Scriptures, so that as the Gospel goes forth, salvation also would be experienced by Your people, and blessing of grace and favor would rest upon those here in this room. I pray for those who do not know You, that You would give them conviction of sin and faith in You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, family and friends and congregation members, we truly are saddened by the death of Jenny. She was admired. She was admired as a friend. She was admired as someone who was fun to be with. And she will be missed. As we try to make sense of her passing, as we try to make sense of our own lives and the shortness of our life, which could end in any moment, we turn to God for answers. We turn to John 3:16, the most famous verse in all of Scripture. There's a few reasons why I'm taking us to this passage. One reason is because for most of the members of our congregation, the last several times that we've seen Jenny was around Christmas time, when we went to sing Christmas carols to her mother when she was quite ill, and Jenny was there and sat in and listened as we sang Christmas carols. And Christmas is about the coming of Christ into this world. And John 3:16 tells us why God sent His only begotten Son into this world. So that's definitely one reason why I think it's appropriate for us to look at this verse. Another reason why we look at this verse is because in a tragedy like the one we face today, where life has ended far earlier than we want it to, than we expect it to, than we are used to seeing, and when one's own child has died, we need compassion. We need someone to come and give us a hug and hold our hand and to cry on their shoulder. We need that. But you know what? We don't have to only get that from other humans. God also is a compassionate God. And this verse especially highlights that kind of compassion and pity that the Lord has upon humanity in this world. You see, God has a plan. God sent His Son so that there is a way of escaping death. He has a plan for His people to avoid perishing and to experience everlasting life. And so this verse is very, very important for us today. The main point of our verse is rather plain, that God gave His only begotten Son so that we might have eternal life. God gave His only begotten Son so that we might have eternal life. We are told, first of all, the cause of this eternal life. What brings this eternal life? Then we're told the cost to get this eternal life. And lastly, there is the call to come and receive that eternal life. The cause, the cost, and the call. What is the cause of eternal life? John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world." That's the cause. God and His great love. He so loved. There's a stress on the fact that God is love, which is told us in other places in the Bible. It doesn't just say God loved, it says He so loved. There's an intensity to His love. So think about that today. When you're in intense pain, there is an intensity that's even greater in the love of God for us when we are in pain. And notice how it says not only does God have this intense love, He's so loved, but He so loved the world. Now in the Bible, especially in the book of John, this term world is used to describe the great mass of humanity in our condition as those who are ungodly, who are wicked, who are living in darkness, as Jesus went on to say. And when the light shines, we say, "Oh, I don't want to wake up. I don't want to see the light. I want to stay in the darkness." We read here that God loved the world, and we should be very surprised. For God so loved the world. Why? God did not love the lovely. God did not love the lovable. God did not hit like on some divine Facebook page and say, "Oh, this is something that catches my attention. I like it. I like this person. I like what I can do with this person." God loved the unlovable. God loved a bunch of rotten, wretched, rebellious, self-centered, self-seeking sinners. That's the world that He loved. When God looked down through time and chose which people He was going to save and bring to heaven, it was slim pickings. In fact, there was nothing to pick, for we are all lost in our sins. Who are we apart from the love of God and being saved by Christ? The Bible says we're not born innocent little babies. That's not the truth at all. We're part of this sinful world. Thinking and living for ourselves and our own pleasures. We're told that we are enemies of God in Romans 5, verse 8. Ephesians 2, 3 says that by nature we're born children of wrath. This is who we are as those who are in this world. And this is the world that God so loved that He wouldn't leave us where we are. But He came into it. Everyone who is a Christian, everyone who is a believer in the Lord Jesus is chosen out of this world, because God has compassion and pity today. The very definition of the word church isn't a word of a certain building located at a certain address, but originally that word definition means those who are called out from the world, because God so loved the world and called us out of it and put us into His eternal kingdom. The cause of eternal life is God's intense love for His people. Do you understand the amazing grace of God today? Despite our desperate status, Christians are made alive with Christ. God is rich in mercy. Without His great love for the world, no one would be saved. But God does have this great love, and so He sent His Son, so that you and I could be saved. No matter how wicked our life has been, no matter how worthless our choices have been, no matter how messed up your world has become, God still comes to you today with His great love and calls you to Himself. The cause of eternal life is not your loveliness or mine. It's not making yourself a better person. The cause of eternal life is God and His great love. How is it that God in His great love can do anything for you and for me? Well, because God paid a certain cost. That's the second thing in John 3:16, the cost of eternal life. What is that cost? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He gave His only begotten Son. Eternal life comes to us as a result of the free love and free grace of God. But eternal life isn't free. It's not cheap. There's an enormous price tag that has to be paid. Somebody had to come and pay eternal punishment of your body and soul in hell for you to escape hell. And Jesus is the one who came and paid that cost. And God gave Him up so that we could do that. God gave Him up on the cross. Think about it. Many people, not just the ones today, but many people throughout time, many parents have lost a child to death. And it is terrible. It is heartbreaking. And God can relate to that. Because God also lost a child. God gave up His only Son. And yet there is, of course, an important difference between the way in which God's loss occurred and the way in which the loss of earthly parents occurs. Earthly parents who lose a child never choose to lose that child. If they were able in any way, they would do whatever they could to save their child. They'd pay any amount of money. They'd even die themselves if it meant that their child could be saved for one more day. And that's okay. That shows a real love for their child. But look at the love which is real, just as real and is even greater that God the Father has towards His Son. Because God the Father is able to stop His Son from dying. God the Father is able to shield His Son from enemies and from those who would abuse Him. And yet, God the Father still sends His Son to suffer, to be persecuted, to be mistreated, to die. Why? Because of His intense love for His other children, who He will adopt into His family. You and me and all Christians who He adopts into His family, because He gives up His only begotten Son, who then, of course, doesn't stay in the grave, but rises on the third day and comes to life. What greater cost could be paid than to give your own Son? And what greater love could you possibly imagine? We have a pure and loving and perfect Heavenly Father, and a willing and submissive and perfectly obedient Son who goes to the cross, though He doesn't deserve to be there. We need to notice the true cost for eternal life that was paid today, so that we don't settle for cheap imitations to eternal life, which will not give you eternal life, but only land you in hell. Here is just a sample of some of the imitations, some of the foolish hopes that people have that leaving them hopeless and empty in a day like today. John 3:16 does not say, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever is baptized should not perish, but have everlasting life." It doesn't say that, does it? John 3:16 does not say that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever is confirmed and goes to communion will not perish, but have everlasting life. It doesn't say that, does it? John 3:16 does not say that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever is a good person should not perish, but have everlasting life. It doesn't say that, does it? It does not say God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever is a great friend and makes us laugh because of those reasons does not perish and has everlasting life. It doesn't say that, does it? None of these is the cause of eternal life. None of these is good enough to pay the cost. Who says so? God Himself. And if anyone knows what eternal life is, God ought to know. He says the cause of eternal life is His great love and a free gift that He has paid the cost for. And the only hope is to admit that you needed Him to pay the cost, that He has paid the cost, and you trust in Him and in nothing else, in yourself or anyone else has done or where you grew up or anything like that. Which brings us to the last point in Jesus' most famous words in all of history. Not only do we read the cause of eternal life, the cost of eternal life, but also the call to come and receive eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. This call of God is for whoever. Jesus is inviting anyone, anyone, regardless of their past, regardless of their present, Jesus is inviting anyone to become a Christian. You see, there is hope. There really is hope for you today. There is hope. Jesus says, if you believe, you will not perish. It doesn't matter what color your skin. It doesn't matter how long you've lived in the church or outside the church. What matters is if you believe now and from now on, in trusting in Christ. This is the call which invites all to come and believe in Christ. There's one more thing we see in this call to eternal life. Jesus gives this call to erase every excuse that somebody might say, oh, it's not fair, Jesus, I never had a chance to go to heaven. He gives us this call. This is your chance. Please don't let this be the last day you're ever in a Christian church somewhere. I beg you, on the authority of Christ and by His words, believe in Him and you will not perish, but have everlasting life. Don't let this be the last day you've heard those words. And of course, we know it might be. Tomorrow is not guaranteed. And so today is the day of salvation. Today we must be that person included in that whoever that believes and answers the call that Jesus gives. Heaven really exists, and so does hell. There are only two places, Jesus says, the place of those who perish and the place of everlasting life. Where do you want to go? He's calling you now. Today, if you don't find yourself loving God, happy about this idea of His grace, if you don't really care, then beware. This is your warning to get right with God. The man who Jesus talked with on this day didn't believe in Jesus on that day. But later in his life, we read God allowed him to live a few more days, a few more weeks, and later in his life, we read that Nicodemus did respond and believe in Him, and he was granted everlasting life. There's a beautiful hymn which describes this verse so well and the great power of God's love and grace to work in our hearts and make us who are natural born enemies to become supernatural friends of God. And that hymn, How Sweet and Awesome is the Place, says this, why was I made to hear Thy voice and enter while there's room? When thousands make a wretched choice and rather starve than come to Christ. It was the same love that spread the feast that sweetly drew us in, or else we had still refused to taste and perished in our sin. Have pity on the nations, O our God. Constrain the earth to come. Send Thy victorious word abroad and bring the strangers home. We long to see Thy churches full, that all the chosen race may with one voice and heart and soul sing Thy redeeming grace. God sent His only begotten Son into this world because of His great love, so that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Will you believe in Him? Amen. Let's pray. Almighty and most merciful God, You who are the comfort of the sorrowful and the support of the weary, we know You do not delight in grieving or afflicting the children of men. We pray that You would look down in tender love and pity on Your servants in this bereaved household whose joy has been turned into mourning. Be pleased to uphold, strengthen, and comfort them according to the multitude of Your mercies, so that they may not faint under Your fatherly chastening, but may find in You their strength and refuge, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we'll turn now to sing of this amazing grace that Jesus has announced and proclaimed upon us today. Hymn 402.